So here we are in the Congressional Corner with Tim Bresciolati, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and just one of the brightest guys that I know. So, Tim, I guess the first thing I want to talk about is Maura Healey, the attorney general. What shot does she have for becoming the governor?
Well, Maura Healey may rival Charlie Baker as the Massachusetts politician people are watching most closely right now. She's finishing up her second term as attorney general, and she's extremely popular among the Democratic base. And a lot of folks would love to see her run for governor. She has about $3 million in the bank in her campaign treasury, so she's well prepared for a statewide race. But you have to engage in a little bit of game theory here to anticipate what her next move might be. If indeed she were to run against Charlie Baker, if Charlie Baker were to run again, it would be a tough race. They're both known. They're both popular politicians. Giving Healey an in, giving her an opportunity to criticize Baker, there are a couple of areas where he may be vulnerable, but getting voters to care about that is very difficult, as the Democrats found in 2018 as well. So my speculation is that Healey is going to wait and see what Baker does. If he decides not to run, presumptive favorite for the Republican nomination would be Baker's lieutenant governor, Karen Polito, who is also well-financed, but is certainly nowhere near as well-known as Charlie Baker. Although I will say this, Baker has been very gracious and eager to give his lieutenant governor the spotlight at press opportunities with an eye to the future in terms of the party. But I think Polito, a Polito-Healey race would be extremely interesting because they would both be introducing themselves to voters as potential chief executives of the state. It would set up an election where Massachusetts would elect its first woman governor. So there'd be a great deal of interest and probably a lot of enthusiasm. We'll see. We'll see. Healey is not showing her cards. She seems to enjoy being attorney general, and it could be that she decides to go for another term as well.
In New York State, of course, there is always the sense that AG, Attorney General, means almost governor. Is that a tradition in Massachusetts, too?
Not necessarily. We look to Maura Healey's predecessor, Martha Coakley, who served a few terms as Attorney General, built up her name recognition, her statewide profile. And however, instead of taking a shot at governor, she first ran for the Senate to serve the remainder of Ted Kennedy's term when Kennedy died in office. And as we all know, that didn't end well. She lost to Scott Brown, and the Republicans held the seat for a few years. Coakley did try again, though. First, she continued as attorney general and then ran for governor in 2014. And to be fair, made it a good race. She only lost by a little under 2 percentage points. But at least in terms of recent history, making that jump from AG to governor is not always a guarantee.
You know, it's interesting, Tim Bresciolati. I was talking to a senior, let's just put it this way, a senior Democratic person when she did run for governor. And I said, well, it looks good for her. He said, no, we have to get her through. We're going to have to try to get her through. And that
she did not have natural political instincts. It was not a comfortable fit for her to work a rope line to Gladhand. In her terms as attorney general, she was much more focused on policy. And so I think that point is well taken. There are people who revel in the spotlight, in the pursuit of office, and then there are people who just want to get there so they can get things done. And I would certainly put Martha Coakley in the second category.
Mm. How unpopular is the legislature these days? Does your polling show any of that?
Oh, it's a good question. We have not polled on the state legislature in quite some time, in part because it, unlike Congress, people have very unformed views on the state legislature. They're not in session the entire year. Many of the bills that they're working on are not easily summed up, or they're not highly controversial, especially in Massachusetts, where the Democrats hold such a sizable majority in both chambers. So if we were to field, and you're giving me some ideas here for some polling in the fall, it would be very interesting to see just how many people actually have fixed views on the state legislature.
You know, because I've operated for years in New York, and I find that Massachusetts and New York are not the same, in that it's quite clear to me that everybody hates the legislature in New York. And the question is, is there an actual predilection to say, what are these guys up to? I get a letter, unsolicited, I may add, virtually every day from one guy who hates the legislature. And I don't know how extensive, all of that is. All I know is the thought of being the representative from Western Massachusetts and having to drive, as the late Dennis Duffin used to, from Great Barrington to, or from Lenox or Lee, whatever, I think Lee maybe, to Boston. That is a rough ride. I mean, that's 2.5 hours.
It sure is. And we should be mindful, whoever the individuals are, whatever their political views or platforms, that people are willing to serve and put in that kind of time. We should all be grateful for that, because it's not an easy life. When you talk to legislators from Western Mass who eventually leave to pursue other things, one of the aspects they often remark on is the commute and doing that every week during the session.
Yeah. So do you think that this is that this business of running from office? I think about New York. My sense is nobody gets to be governor if they don't come from the five boroughs of New York City. Forget about everything else. Does that kind of thing happen with Boston, or do people from outside the Boston area have a shot at any of these offices?
I think it depends. I think the natural default is the Boston metro area, because that's such a significant chunk of the electorate. And so if you've come up through the ranks, if you have served in the state legislature, or you've served in the congressional delegation, or you've served as a big city mayor in eastern Massachusetts, you've already got a built-in base, and you're in a media market where you're getting coverage from the Globe, from the Herald, from the Boston TV stations. Yes, running from Western Massachusetts, and we can ask Ben Downing this at some point, you've got to work much harder to raise your profile.
Which is why he moved, of course.
Right. But he has been on the road. Now, the one interesting exception recently, of course, is Deval Patrick, who had actually lived outside the state for a while as well, and was an underdog when he ran in 2006, but was able to, through good campaigning, some clever organizing, building enthusiasm, was able to get past that issue of breaking through where Eastern Massachusetts politicians tend to have the advantage.
Always great to talk to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and really just a gem of a human being. So thank you so much, Tim, for
being here. Oh, you're very welcome.